This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, we're going to do Medal of Honor Monday here in just a moment. We'll get to some other emails, all kinds of stuff still to come. Remember, I'm out of here after this today. We're going to have guest hosts. I know you're mad right now. Don't yell at me. Okay, this is not my choice. I'm not going on vacation. I got to go do some suit things for a couple of days, but I'll be back on Monday. All right? If you miss me while I'm gone, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Not that I'm going to read it till I get back, but you can email me. What, Chris? I want to be honest with people. Anyway, it's Medal of Honor Monday. Start of hour two. On a Monday, and so we are going to honor a hero. In fact, we're going to honor two of them, as a matter of fact. First, I wanted to do this. Somebody emailed this in. He emailed in an obituary for a Vincent D'Andrio. He passed away at 95. He was 95 years old. He was a Purple Heart recipient, and he was a POW in Korea, combat veteran POW. And he just passed away. And on top of honoring Mr. Vincent D'Andrio, we are going to read the Medal of Honor citation for a beast. And I'm sorry, I've been racking my brains to try to remember the book. I've read about this guy in a book. It was not a book about him, but it was a book about the Korean War. And I remembered it like it was yesterday. The second I saw his name, I said, oh, I remember him. Lieutenant Colonel Faith, Don Carlos Faith Jr. is the guy's name. He was born in Washington, Indiana, and his Medal of Honor citation is, it's a good one. Anyway, without further ado, here it is.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
Lieutenant Colonel Faith, commanding 1st Battalion, distinguished himself conspicuously by gallantry and intrepidity in action above and beyond the call of duty in the area of Chosin Reservoir. Obviously, this is Korea. When the enemy launched a fanatical attack against his battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Faith unhesitatingly exposed himself to heavy enemy fire as he moved about directing the action. When the enemy penetrated positions, Lieutenant Colonel Faith personally led counterattacks to restore the position. During an attack by his battalion to effect a junction with another U.S. unit, Lieutenant Colonel Faith reconnoitered the route for and personally directed the first elements of his command across the ice-covered reservoir, and then directed the movement of his vehicles, which were loaded with wounded, I'll tell you about this story in a moment, until all of his command had passed through enemy fire. Having completed this, he crossed the reservoir himself. Assuming command of the force his unit had joined, he was given the mission of attacking to join friendly elements to the south. Lieutenant Colonel Faith, although physically exhausted in the bitter cold, organized and launched an attack, which was soon stopped by enemy fire. He ran forward under enemy small arms and automatic weapons fire, got his men on their feet, and personally led the fire attack as it blasted its way through the enemy ring. As they came to a hairpin curve, enemy fire from a roadblock ahead pinned the column down. Lieutenant Colonel Faith organized a group of men and directed their attack on the enemy positions on the right flank. He then placed himself at the head of another group of men, jeez, this guy, in the face of direct enemy fire, led an attack on the enemy roadblock, firing his pistol and throwing grenades. When he reached a position approximately 30 yards from the roadblock, he was mortally wounded, but continued to direct the attack until the roadblock was overrun. Throughout the 5 days of action, Lieutenant Colonel Faith gave no thought to his safety and did not spare himself. His presence each time in positions of great danger was an inspiration to his men. Also, the damage he personally inflicted from his firing position at the head of his men was of material assistance on several occasions. Lieutenant Colonel Faith's outstanding gallantry and noble self-sacrifice above and beyond the call of duty reflect the highest honor on him and are in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Army. He died from his wounds 3 days after this. So both of them will get taps today. So you've heard me talk about Korea many times before, and you already know the situation. Our guys, they got up into the frozen hellscape of Chosin Reservoir, big gigantic reservoir up there. And we're talking temperatures of 70 below with the wind chill. That's the kind of temperature we're talking about here. Guys used to have to pee on their weapons to warm them up so they could shoot them. Like it was bad, really, really bad. Guys are losing their hands. Their feet. If you see a Korean War veteran, he will oftentimes have a messed up looking nose. Like nose would be really weird looking, or missing fingers or hands. It's because they all got frozen off, right? So when we got surrounded at Chosin Reservoir, that's when the Chinese finally surrounded all the American troops. Remember that we have troops all around the reservoir. And it's not as if there's some chain linking them all together, you see. You may have a unit on the east side of the reservoir. You've got a unit on the north side of the reservoir. You got a unit on the west side. But they're just trying to grab hilltops. When the Chinese surrounded and began attacking, they started cutting off our units from each other. And that is the end of your life. If you are a unit, whatever, it doesn't matter what era, you need a lifeline of some kind. You need a lifeline that provides things like water, food, medical, ammunition. When you get surrounded, when you get cut off, you will die. At some point in time, you will die. Well, we had all these Chinese units around us. Chinese units were breaking the chain, essentially, getting between us and each other. And so the effort to get all the American troops back down to the southern part of the reservoir so they could then push south and get out with their lives, that effort to gather all the American troops there was a large effort, and a lot of people died trying to get those units linked up, to get those units with each other, and you were having to fight through waves of attacks and roadblocks. And look, there were incidents over there. I mean, you don't read about this a lot. You don't think about Korean War this way. They mentioned the trucks there. We had our wounded laid up in trucks, big 5-ton trucks, and we'd be stacking them on each other. And our trucks, if they got stopped, the trucks were always getting shot, keep in mind. The drivers of the trucks were always getting shot. So the trucks were always stopping or going into ditches. So imagine you're sitting there with a severe wound. You've got a guy underneath you, a guy on top of you. You're freezing. The driver just got shot. And if they get a hold of our caravans, and they did get a hold of our caravans, they would, if not shoot all of our guys, which they did, the guys in the beds of the truck, they'd light some of them on fire and burn them to death. So you're sitting there stacked up like cordwood in the back. You hear them going through, torching the trucks. Korea, man, I'm telling you, it is called the Forgotten War. And it is the Forgotten War. People skip right past it. They go from WW2 to Vietnam. And I understand the reasons why. I get it. Some things just get overshadowed by other things. Vietnam was more controversial. World War II was way bigger. And so Korea, people kind of skip past it. If you know somebody who's a Korean War veteran, a friend, a family member, something like that, ask them about it. Or in the very least, if you don't feel like doing that, maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, thank him for it. And those guys are getting old, remember, just like the World War II veterans. We don't have that many Korean War veterans left. If I may make a suggestion, you see one in the grocery store, if you are financially able to do so, maybe buy his groceries as long as he doesn't have a grocery cart full or something like that. Or maybe you can afford that, you know what I mean? Maybe say thank you. You see one eating in a diner, buy him a cup of coffee, some eggs. Just a suggestion. Those Korean War guys are no joke. All right, I want to talk about the, someone wants to talk DEI. We're going to talk a bit about communists and language, the government itself, Republicans being feckless. But let's talk just a little bit more about those veterans. I mentioned the Vietnam War. As you know, Pure Talk is a veteran-led company. What kind of a veteran? A Vietnam veteran. How in the world could any company today, who is so patriotic that they insist on hiring Americans? Who does that, Pure Talk? It's so nice to be able to speak to a pleasant American on the phone whenever you need anything. When you switch to Pure Talk, you're on the same network, so you're not sacrificing service. It is June. Go look at your mobile company, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Look at how rainbowed out they are. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Pure Talk's colors are red, white, and blue. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, if you miss me while I'm gone, you can download the show, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, for the administration that shoved DEI down our throats for 4 years, should Biden and his eligible administration be guarded by nothing but DEI hires? Well, look, I'll set aside the specific point for this. The people who have pushed communism into every single part of this society, all this cultural Marxism, they always, always, always thought they were going to be exempt from the consequences of it. It is a common strain throughout communism. They just want to destroy and destroy this and destroy that and destroy this and destroy that. They themselves want everything to be nice. Remember that story I told you about the East Germans? When there was East Germany, communist East Germany, and West Germany. In East Germany, there were a lot of restrictions. Very, very closely monitored, horrible communist society. It was miserable. Everyone hated it. But the communist leaders, they didn't want to live the way everyone else lived, with crappy houses and crappy TVs and crappy stuff and everything sucks. They didn't want to have to live like that. That was for you. So the leaders built for themselves an entire town, a secluded forest town with unbelievable amounts of security that had everything. If you've been teleported into there, you'd think you were in an American suburb. It had a restaurant, movie theater. Everybody had a nice little house around there. Because they didn't want to have to live underneath all their policies. That's for you. Remember the mentality I talk about all the time, that they see themselves as kings and queens? This idea that all human beings are equal in the eyes of God is a ridiculous idea to the communist. He believes he should rule. He believes he should have all the authority and he should rule. And he should, as a ruler, as a king, he should have access to nice things. The peasants historically don't get access to all the things the king has. The king is sitting in a castle with all of his friends, eating a gigantic chicken that they just slow roasted with all kinds of seasonings and the finest wines. The peasants are starving. Maybe you'll toss them some bread. And the king doesn't see anything wrong with that. Of course it's not equal. You're not equal to him. That's exactly how communists see themselves. Remember during COVID? Remember we talked about it so many times? They're handing out rules for you. You don't do this and don't gather with your family and don't travel and don't do this. And every day we would wake up and there'd be a new Democrat politician who was flying to Florida, no mask on, big family reunion right after they told you not to do it. Well, they were showing you. I told you then. It's not that they were getting caught. They know everyone has a cell phone camera now. They know there's a million internet sleuths out there that track travel and everything else. It's not that they were getting caught. They wanted you to know. Well, yeah, these rules, they're for you. They're not for me. But here's the problem. Back to the guy's point about the DEI hires and things like that. Oh, one more COVID point. Remember this story? We brought it up on the show. I forget who broke it, so I'm sorry. I'm sure I gave you credit at the time, but I forget it now. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Remember when we found out they were flying private jets, all the elites of the world during COVID, all the ones lecturing you about getting the vax, get the vax, get the vax, get the vax. And remember when we found out the elites were flying private jets and insisting on unvaccinated pilots and co-pilots because of all the strokes and heart attacks people were having with the vaccine? You remember that, don't you, Chris? While they were telling you you had to get the vaccine to save the planet, behind the scenes, they were demanding unvaccinated pilots because they didn't want their planes to go into the side of a mountain. These are the kind of people we're dealing with here. Anyway, they always convince themselves that there won't ever be consequences for them. The king always does that, doesn't he? Historically, the dictator, the king, whoever is in charge, he always looks around at his palace and his bodyguards and his fleet of cars, and he always thinks to himself, I'm untouchable. No harm will ever come to me. Look at me. The harm may come to others, but I'm not concerned about that. But that's not how it works, you see. Because destroying institutions, well, that comes with equal opportunity victims. You think you can fire all the white air traffic controllers and it'll never be your plane running into another one in the sky? Are you sure about that? Are you sure you can tell all the white men they need not apply at the Secret Service? And you're sure that diversity hire is going to jump in front of a bullet for you? That's not how it works. Communists, in the end, always have to live under the same miserable system they put on everybody else. And they pay too. Again, as my buddy Phil says, the only great thing about communism is all the communist communism is guild. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the bloated government and feckless Republicans. But I want to touch on one more thing about the lies of the Democrat Party. Before we touch on that, I want to talk to you about protecting the retirement you've earned. You spent your life putting money away. Protect it. We are in the midst of possibly the start of a war, a big one. We are in the midst of economic calamity as all this trade stuff goes on. Protect your retirement so you don't wake up tomorrow with the bubble popped and you're wiped out. But how do you do that? You get some precious metals in there because precious metals raise the floor. That's what they do. They raise the floor. You can only lose so much when you have gold or silver in your retirement. Gold Co. will give you a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. Go look it up. Go find out why this company has 6,000, over 6,000 five-star reviews. They will take good care of you. They took great care of me. I love them. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. All right, we'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So we've been discussing a lot lies and the world of lies that communists build for their followers and build for themselves. And as we discussed many times before, they don't share your moral values. As uncomfortable as you are with telling a lie, you'll do it, but you kind of feel icky only when it's necessary. That's how they are with the truth. Their lies are what they're supposed to say. It's the truth that, I mean, I guess if we really have to. So guy sends in this email. We're going to read a couple emails, and I'm going to play something for you. Jesse, I enjoy following you on X and agree with most everything you say. Asked if I'd ever read a book, You Can Trust Communists to Be Communists. I have not, by the way. I know you talk about the lying liars in the Democratic Party. I read that book in 1972, and now I still remember things from that book. Just curious, because you're talking about all the lying, hurtful things they've said and done. Okay, so pause on that for a moment. I'm going to read this. Jesse, I'm from Oregon. I live in a mostly red county. Recently, an old friend moved back from our state, saying she missed Oregon, but was surprised at how politically extreme it was there. It's farmers and vets, mostly. Nobody throwing bricks through windows. Nobody firebombing Tesla stations like in Portland. My question is, how does the communist see the everyman as politically extreme? Okay, for my part, I saw the people were reasonable and fair. Okay, so obviously he's talking about rural Oregon, where it is. It's going to be a bunch of vets and farmers and outdoorsmen. It's going to be a very normal, very safe place, probably crime-free. But the town commie comes back and says she can't believe how extreme it is there. I'm going to play something for you. His name is David Brooks. He's talking about Elon Musk. Listen to this.
How many people have died because of what Doge did at USAID? And USAID was a very ill-managed organization. That's true. But according to the Boston University folks, so far, 55,000 adults have died of AIDS in the 4 months since Trump was elected. 6,000 children are dead because of what Doge did. That's just PEPFAR, the HIV. You add them all up, that's 300,000 dead, and we're 4 months in. Now, you accumulate that over 4 years, the number of dead grows very high. There are mass murderers in the world, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Stalin. We don't have anybody on the list from America. And I don't think it's the same as committing the kind of genocide they did. But by taking away that agency and being at least semi-responsible for the deaths of probably by the end of this, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, that's Elon Musk's legacy.
One, those numbers aren't accurate. Two, removing corrupt foreign aid doesn't kill people like that. But three, setting aside the absurdity of what he just said, why would you say something like that? When it's so insane and it's so wrong, why would you say something like that? Well, here's why. The communist, part of the reason he knows he has to lie and tell big lies, just like that, just like what you just heard, huge lies, over-the-top lies. The reason he does that is similar to, let me think about this, it's similar to a football coach getting up in front of his team and giving some fire and brimstone speech before the game. I heard those guys insult your mother and they all said she's ugly. It's similar to that. What is he doing? What's the football coach doing? He's getting the football team revved up to go play better than they would normally play because of a new level of motivation. A renewed level of motivation. You got them revved up for one reason, and now you're after them. You ever see Braveheart? When they drop all their shields and they moon the other side and they start screaming and yelling like nut jobs? Why? Getting the troops revved up to fight better, fight harder than they would. Why? Why would you say something so insane like Elon Musk is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people just like Pol Pot? Well, the accuracy of it doesn't matter. What does matter is your liberal Aunt Peggy is so stupid and drugged out, she believes that. And what it does is it gives her a level of motivation and commitment that is hard to match because she not only feels like the good guy, she not only feels like the good guy fighting against the ultimate evil. She thinks the world will end if she doesn't succeed. Therefore, any and all rules are cast aside because the situation is so dire, she must succeed. Why in the world? Why do you think we've had so much communist violence recently? Why do you think that is? Well, the crazies are sitting at home and they're listening to their political leaders and the media people speak. And they're talking about how many people are going to die and Donald Trump's the end of the world and this and that. And all it takes is one mentally ill dude to snap and grab some Molotov cocktails and go down and start trying to cook people. It only takes one and someone dies. And that's exactly why they tell the lies they tell. Back to the communist who moved back to a red area and said it was politically extreme. The communist is trained and has trained himself to react as if it is the end of the world whenever anything differs from the way he's been trained to think. Remember, I explained this to you, that the communist is a herd animal. And he believes staying in the herd, even if the entire herd is charging towards a cliff, the communist believes that real true safety is only found in the herd. Therefore, if something strays from the herd, it's not just that you should go get it. You potentially should go kill it. Why? It's straying from the herd in the mind of the communist risks the safety of the entire herd. So if you have a herd animal that doesn't want to be part of the herd anymore, you better kill it. Otherwise, it'll hurt everybody. Remember how they reacted during COVID? Remember the percentage of American Democrats that wanted your children taken from you if you weren't vaccinated? Just turned into monsters, devils, overnight. Herd animals act like that. So back to the small town, you're communist, you move back there. And when you see an American flag, you know how much communists hate that. Probably a church. Maybe even a MAGA hat. Well, for you, that's nothing. But for this person who's used to living in a herd, so if you live in Portland, if you live in San Francisco, if you live, I'm talking about the city center where it's all blue, if you live in one of these environments for any length of time, every single thing you see and read conforms to your worldview, and then you stray from that, it does feel extreme. You could drive through any part of rural America, we'll make it about rural Oregon, and see white picket fences and pickup trucks and American flags and families and things like that. And you would think, wow, this is nice. Maybe you wouldn't even like it. Maybe you're a city person, city guy, city girl. That's fine. But you think, oh, it looks pleasant here. But to the communist who drives through and sees that, they see enemies. They see people who have left the herd. All these people have left the herd. It's so extreme. Ah! And they're trained to overreact. That's part of their training. So when Elon Musk is finding government corruption and he's cutting off this corruption and cutting off that corruption, You don't make some sort of legitimate argument about the money that was being sent out. It was for State Department purposes. No, 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 no. That's not good enough. That's not going to motivate liberal Aunt Peggy to go throw a Molotov cocktail on somebody. But stuff like this does.
How many people have died because of what Doge did at USAID? And USAID was a very ill-managed organization. That's true. But according to the Boston University folks, so far, 55,000 adults have died of AIDS in the 4 months since Trump was elected. 6,000 children are dead because of what a Doge did. That's just PEPFAR, the HIV.
Why does Elon Musk need personal security that rivals and, if some are to be believed, surpasses the president of the United States of America? Why does he get that many death threats a day? Because guys like David Brooks tell liberal Aunt Peggy that Elon Musk is killing people by the hundreds of thousands, and liberal Aunt Peggy thinks grabbing a gun and killing him might just be the greater good. And that's why I lectured you at the beginning of the show to protect yourself, because these people are all over the country, and they're not going to stop committing acts of violence. They're inherently violent people anyway. I mean, after all, what kind of people could kill 65 million babies and not wake up one day and say, wow, maybe we're wrong? Even if you're somebody who's middle of the road, not as far to the right as I am on abortion. 65 million kids? Isn't that so sad? That is so sad. It's why I speak to you about preborn so often. It's why I love what they do. The gift of ultrasound is the greatest weapon we've ever had in the fight for life. It's better than laws. It's the greatest weapon we've ever had, because there is something from God about a mother hearing her baby's heartbeat. It just is. Do you want to buy one of those young mothers a free ultrasound? She's thinking about killing her baby. Preborn finds her first, we can save that baby's life. It's all tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can leave us a voicemail. I'm kidding. No, you can't do that anymore. You can send us an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's check in on the Democrats, shall we? This is DNC Vice Chair Malcolm Kenyatta. Anyway,
one of the reasons I was really excited to talk to you is that I think you're one of our party's best messengers in the way that you take issues that can and are complex to people who aren't thinking about politics every single day.
You know who Malcolm was talking to? That tranny member of Congress. One of the best messengers. For a party that is losing men and losing middle America, it blows me away they can't see how much the tranny issue hurts them. You can show them all the poll numbers in the world. They won't back off it. Did you see this story?
A biological male athlete took home first place, obviously, of course, to everyone's not surprise at all, in two women's events at last weekend's California High School Track and Field Championships. Yet another instance of not only the biological male sweeping all the medals as always, sweeping the podium, sweeping the gold, but of blue states openly defying President Trump's order to keep biological men out of women's athletics.
We'll set aside the poor young ladies. I mean, imagine what an accomplishment it is to make state in California. Whew, make state and track. You show up in state and get beaten by a dude. But setting all that aside, just focusing on it politically, Democrats are so trapped in a prison of their own making that nobody will speak out against that. And it's an 80-20 issue. The public hates it, absolutely hates it, is mortified by it. But they've become just that. It's the party of freaks. It's the party of the far left. It's the party of violence. And when they're not doing that, it's still all about Trump. I mean, did you hear Waltz?
Because I called Donald Trump a wannabe dictator? It's because he is. It's because he is.
Oh.
The governor's being mean and the governor's speaking out on that. Well, maybe it's time for us to be a little meaner. Maybe it's time for us to be a little more fierce. We have to ferociously push back on this.
or this?
Once we get to the majority, which I'm hoping and praying we get to next cycle, that allows me to start to open up and do the things that would look like an impeachment.
Let's say you were elected to ranking member and the Democrats take the House and you become chair of that committee. Would you pursue impeachment?
I would absolutely at least do an inquiry. Absolutely.
They've become the party of get Trump and trannyism. I can't imagine why it's not catching on. Jesse, I agree with you on all the losers and all the bloated, corrupt government. This is about the slowness of the government arrests. But I also think a lot of why there's nothing going on is because feckless Republicans are making every effort to let the statute of limitations run out on their powerful friends in the swamp. Well, we should never lose sight of that. And let's be honest, there's always going to be, there are going to be different reasons for slowness. I never told you that the lack of government arrests was fine. What I said was, I'm not going to come to a final judgment on, hey, they're never coming, for a little while. I realize they may take time. I get that. And if we're having the same conversation a year from now, then Pam Bondi's a failure, period, end of story. If we're having the same conversation a year from now, Pam Bondi's a failure. If the FBI whistleblowers are not wearing FBI badges a year from now, then Cash Patel's a failure, period, end of story, not negotiable. There are things we're going to be able to tell after a long enough period of time. I just don't know that we're there yet. I'm not making excuses for anybody. I guess I'm hoping, because I keep hearing things, I keep hearing, just wait, we have great things coming. Just wait, we have great things coming. I keep hearing things. So I guess as of right now, I'm choosing to hope that they are taking the time to get their ducks in a row before they start throwing handcuffs on the corrupt people inside of our government. It's not that I'm telling you that's coming. I'm not telling you that's coming. That is not me making a prediction. That is me venting my soul to you, telling you I'm trying to be hopeful right now, and that we don't know whether they're a success or a failure yet. What they still absolutely need, they still need to hear from you all the time that you want more, faster, go, 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 go. They need to hear that. They need to feel pressure from you. We want more. We demand arrests. We demand that. They need to hear that from you, big time. Hey, sociopathic meat slicer, what were your favorite toys to play with as a kid? Unless you had to play with rocks and random scraps of wood like Jewish producer Chris. Okay, so I'll tell you something. And maybe this explains why I ended up on the radio. I played with G.I. Joes. I was a huge military kid. When I wasn't out in the woods with toy guns, you know, cowboys and Indians and fake machine guns and stuff like that, if it was an inside day, inside time, I had G.I. Joes. Only, I didn't do what normal kids do with the G.I. Joes, whereas you're putting them in tanks and you're setting up these big battles and things like that. You want to hear how weird I was as a kid? I could sit there with one G.I. Joe, just one wee little one, the length of your finger, and I could imagine it in my mind. I would just sit and play with just the one guy. And everything else I just created for myself. Now, granted, I didn't have any of the fancy aircraft carriers or any of that other stuff, but I would just play out essentially entire movies in my mind, me in a chair, one G.I. Joe. See, Chris, I told you I'm weird. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know it. And even back then, my parents would be all, what's wrong with you? They knew that was not a normal thing. But that's, my mind works weirdly. It's not good. It doesn't work well. And my imagination is weird. And I can just take nothing and go off into the Netherland with my mind for a while and then just never return. I don't have an explanation for it. We only have 1 hour of show left this week. I'm going to churn through as many of your emails as I can in that hour. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.